Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put my phone in an area
where
you can't hear the vibration of it.
It's sitting, on, Halle, sister.
It's sitting on my Bears tissue dispenser above me. So hopefully that should soften the vibration of it. But it is 79th and Hallis, as Scott just mentioned. It is your boy Flo's Andolini on Twitter. You just know me as Joe. I'm probably just going to say Joe from now on. I hear my brother Scott. Barb's chair, Scott, on Twitter.
No, we're calling you Flo, so you're not doing a brand switch on us. It's not happening.
This is Joe and Scott. But it is the end of Bears preseason. It is the end of the Bears training camp. And we're all sitting in the back here and saying, what did we learn? And you know what we learned? Nothing. We learned absolutely nothing. The only thing we did learn is Justin Fields is a baller. But did we really learn that, or did we already know that?
It was already known, but it was good to see it in the Bears uniform.
You know, it was
cool. It's good there's highlights of him with a Bears uniform and I don't have to keep watching Ohio State highlights.
Yeah. It was cool to see him be the player that he was, make the plays that he did. It was also annoying to see Matt Nagy be the mid-level play caller and mid-level coach, bottom-tier coach that he is, and continue to be a stubborn coach for stupid reasons. We can go over our few thoughts about the last preseason game versus the Titans, which is really nothing other than what I just said. Justin Fields is a star. My phone just vibrated. Did you hear that? Or was
it? Yeah, I did. I heard it. But it didn't feel like the earth was shaking.
Okay. So I don't know, man. My thoughts on that preseason game, other than, I don't know. I mean, Justin Fields has shown the ability to make plays, to progress through his reads, to deal with one reads, that one step, you have one read and then you have to try to make a play afterwards. He looked good when it came to putting the ball in. I mean, his accuracy was never in question. He learned to deal with the mistakes because sometimes, you know, he wants to put a little bit of touch on it. You got to zip that pass in there. He learned to deal with that mistake and put zips in there. He had no turnovers. There was a fumble in the first game, but they recovered and went out of bounds. So no actual turnovers during the preseason. Did over 60% completion percentage of the preseason, accountable for 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, I learned what I already knew. I learned what I've known for the last 2 years before he got here. He's a good player. He's a good quarterback. He's a generational talent. And the top 3 quarterbacks from that draft are him, Zach Wilson, which the boy just looked good. Look, he gonna
be good. Not gonna lie. Kid's been looking nice. He's been looking nice.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just a general shock. Yeah. Trey Lance looks good. I like the way he's progressing. He still has the tendency to try to want to fit passes that he may be able to do with North Dakota State, but not NFL. But he still looks good. He's athletic as hell. Trevor Lawrence looks garbage, but, you know, we'll see. But Justin Fields has shown that he has the potential to be what I thought he would be. So I guess for the preseason, the only thing that I wanted to see was, you know, put on a little show real quick. He didn't get that many series. It was 3 series because the defense decided to play well. I don't want to see this.
Bro, I was like, somebody tweeted, anybody coming to see you, Otis?
You know what I'm saying? I think, who was that? Was that Greg? Somebody just tweeted the picture of Otis, and I just started dying laughing.
Yeah.
And the picture of David Ruffin. David Ruffin. Yeah. Played by, what's that nigga?
The legend, Leon.
Nigga just named Leon. Played by Leon. But I didn't learn. I just wanted that game to be put on a show, get a few more touchdowns, give fans a few more highlights to watch instead of having to see, as you said, Justin Fields' Ohio State hype video, get ready for the Chicago Bears. I can't wait to see him in the Bears. Like, he has some actual highlights.
And him with the shitty Photoshop of the jersey that we had to live with until the photo shoot happened.
You know what I'm saying? And now he saw him in his away jersey. I only play to make the away jerseys look cool because the away jerseys suck.
He made him look good.
You know what I'm saying? I will stand on the fact that I hate those away jerseys. The home jersey, the navy blue classic, and the Nike version of the orange jerseys looks great. The white jerseys, it just looks terrible with those blue pants. I can't stand them.
Yeah. And they get dirty too quickly.
You know what I'm saying? I don't
know. You know how many times I've had to send my Khalil Mack jersey to the cleaners, nigga?
I don't know, man. Do it like the Alana do and make it white. Make it orange pants. I don't know. I'm still thinking. Some people want all white brought back. That still wasn't bad.
The all white's decent. It's decent.
Cool. It's smooth.
It's decent. It's smooth.
I didn't like the all blue that they wear when they lost to the Packers in the final week of the Super Bowl.
Oh, the fucking, I know which ones you're talking about. I like the throwback joints, 1930s.
Yeah, I do too.
Even though the story behind it is a tad racist from what we know from we had Jack on here, but them bitches still look clean.
I know.
Oranges look good to me, too.
Isn't that what it's like being black in America, period? Finding out some stuff you like or some stuff you were part of that, or some stuff when our country is a part of, like, oh, yeah, this is racist. Even the literal anthem, even the literal anthem is racist.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it used to be, like, before I knew about the anthem shit, like, you would, you know, you go to the game, you get fired up, nigga. Now it's like, I intentionally walk around the bar at the beginning of sporting events now.
I just don't stand.
I don't want to get into arguments with niggas. So I just intentionally go get my food during that time.
Oh yeah, no, it's
or unless I'm with a gang of people who gonna sit down.
It's no issue to not have to deal with the fact that if you sit down, eyes will be on you. People will wonder, what are you doing? Are you making a statement? No, I just don't give a shit about this anthem. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you change the anthem to Dipset anthem, I'll stand up and I'll salute our troops.
Ladies and gentlemen, rise for the national anthem.
Then I'll stand.
It's Santana.
I'm not standing for a song that talks about enslaved my ancestors in the second verse. You got to make a different anthem. So yeah. But you know, as far as the preseason goes, it was cool to see him put on a show. It was cool to be excited because that pass, I was like, I'm not really a fan of rollout throwing to the end zone passes unless you put it on the money, and I was like, wow. And I just sat there and said, holy shit, that was a good pass. And the Bears social media, I know who you are, I know the people who run that, I know it has to be some sort of agenda. And this is talking, there are a lot of people on Twitter who call themselves Bears insiders and they've never seen the inside of Hallis Hall.
Talk to them.
You know what I'm saying? You're not an insider. But I do know for the people who are actually there, now, there are plenty of people I see there. I see Zach. I see people from the Chicago Audible. A lot of people who are as young as I am, but have actually been there. A lot of folks who aren't. And so I'm not going to give you some conspiracy. And any of the people I mentioned wouldn't give you some conspiracy. It just seems weird that great pass, even better catch. No, the catch wasn't even better. The catch wasn't nothing. Now, I don't say that the catch wasn't great, but you're an NFL player and the ball is placed perfectly. What are you supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? They act like it was the catch that Horsted made from Nick Foles, where he one-handed it, then sprinted for a touchdown. That's an amazing play, and that should be the caption. But when Justin Fields tosses it, then I mentioned rolling in motion, and throws that pass perfectly. Literally, if Horsted drops it, it's just an incomplete pass. Simple as that, and you go for a punt, field goal. I wasn't sure how far they're away from. But if not, all he had to do was turn, and it was there.
The sideline view.
He didn't extend his arm fully. He just extended a little bit. Like, bro, like, it just seems like the culture around Nagy and Pace is we're going to push Andy Dalton to be the starter, and it doesn't make any sense. But that's beyond the scope of what this topic is about. So,
what I would take from that game, I didn't watch a lot of it, to be honest with you. I had two games on at one time. I had the Bears on the 55-inch TV. And I had the fucking White Sox on the 42. But then they started pissing me off, and I was like, I don't really give a fuck about the defensive end of the football, and I much rather hear Steve Stone and Jason Benetti. So I switched the White Sox to the 55 and demoted the Bears. But then the White Sox started getting the ass kicked. So then I was just overall just angry, just watching both. But to me, it was just a pointless ass game. It was a pointless game. And because it's like, I think the only good thing about it was that great, amazing pass. I've never seen a Bears quarterback throw before. And I know a lot of people who's like, oh, y'all making a big deal out of it. I mean, we're Bears fans, nigga. We're not used to shit like this, even if it is fucking preseason. I'm gonna be real. That's the best pass I've seen a Bears quarterback throw in at least, when did Jay leave? In at least 7-8 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, since Jay left, I've not seen a pass like that, like, ever. And so that was just exciting to see. But more than anything, I was just glad that he got a bit healthy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just, you know, we're at this point as Bears fans, we just got to accept the reality. Riley, we can get mad about it. We keep calling Nagy a bald-headed bastard, all that other shit. We can go in on him all we want. He's not going to change his opinion. And in 2 weeks, in approximately 2 weeks today, as we're recording this, this Sunday, Andy Dalton will be the starter against the Los Angeles Rams. And it just is what it is at this point. Now, we all know from watching Andy Dalton, you know, one or two things is going to happen. He's going to get hurt or he's going to be healthy. One of the two. So it's just a matter of time before Justin is our quarterback. And we're going to predict what game he's going to start later on in the show. I think I finally nailed what game I think he's going to debut. We'll talk about that later. But it was just kind of like, I didn't really take much from it. You know what I'm saying? There's really nothing to learn. I think it's still stupid that none of the offensive ones play. I mean, Matt Nagy. I mean, fucking the Chiefs ones are playing this week. The Buffalo Bills are a legit Super Bowl contender. Their ones are playing this week. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the Chiefs and the Bills can play their ones, y'all bum asses can go out there and play. Our offense, like, Nagy acts like this is an offense that's just ready to roll, and we're just trying to keep them healthy. No, these niggas need reps, too. The starting offensive line just didn't need reps. Allen Robinson need reps. David Montgomery. All these dudes need reps. I love Darnell Mooney. But who the fuck is Darnell Mooney? You ain't fucking, you know, Devontae Adams, nigga. You need to be getting reps, too. So that's just what was irritating me. So I'm just, to me, it was just two things I took from it. Awesome pass by Justin Fields. You can even tell if Justin Fields to meet on the sideline, he know it's not going to be that long of a time before he's on that fucking field. And also, the other thing would have to be that Danny Trevathan looked alive. It was good to see him get a pick. It was good to see Eddie G out there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, and guys got out of health. That's really all I can take from that game in general, man. It was just kind of like pointless.
To go back on your first of all, are you here? Because sometimes I'm apparently too loud. Is this a good value?
No, you're good.
Okay. So you don't talk shit. You know, going back to your point that you made, it was good to see Danny T because I think Ogletree got the day off. You didn't. Now, of course, that is because Danny needed a few more reps. And so Danny was doing that to get his rep count up. But it's also the fact that Alec Ogletree has been playing well. Alec Ogletree has been playing well. And so I know he will probably get a few more reps this season. When Danny needs to get a break, Alec will be the first one up, or Alec may stay in. I'm not sure how Josiah will do that, but I know that Danny T will get Alec will get some reps. It was interesting to see Eddie Goldman. You know, he's the strongest he ever was. He, you know, was dominating. Even when the big stats like sacks don't show up, which I would just say it's hard for nose tackles to get sacks. Like, interior linemen don't get sacks like Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is an anomaly. But it was good to see Eddie Goldman show up the way he did show up. You know, as far as the defense was concerned, I like the fight of the younger dudes. You know, I like the fight of some of those players who are trying to make the roster, which is going to be about 30-something players cut up until Tuesday, which is the final time. So it was cool. The offensive line sucked. That's the starting offensive line. There is no.
Do you think it was more they were just bad or more they haven't had any work room to work with each other yet? Because you watched more of the game. I really didn't pay attention to that damn game.
They know how to pass block. That's their biggest strength. They have no nastiness when it comes to running. Run blocking is just not what they do. They don't do the smash mouth, bury somebody in one. Herb, me and Herb cover for the bigs. And they asked, Herb asked Sam Mustard, who's that nasty guy on the line? Every offensive line had that one player who just had that meanness to him, that buries somebody in the middle of the field. During the 05 Bears, it was Olin Cruz. Olin Cruz was literally just evil on the field, just looking to destroy you. During the Cowboys, it was all of them. So, you know, everybody has that player. When he asked Sam Mustard, he said, I think we're still looking for it. I was like, that's not good. Everybody needs that. He's like, ideally, you all want it to be. And I'm like, yeah, but most people aren't. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you can't be a great or a good lineman. Right. You know, Jason Peters had the nastiness to him. So when I watched this game, I was like, nobody looks like they want to force people off the line. And that sack, the whole line got blew up. I was like, man, this is awful.
There was plays where Justin, as soon as he snapped, niggas was at his head, like already.
Now with Effetti just has to get ready to use the games. Yeah, he's had no time. He literally just came back from injury. I'm not mad at him for having to readjust the game speed, because if you're not, if it's like, you know, football and the muscles that you use, you have to get a memory around them. And if you stop using them for a period, you will lose some of that muscle memory. And so he comes off the block, doesn't get a hand, doesn't get sacked. I was like, well, you know, that happens a few times. But the interior, the highly touted interior, Sam Mustipher, James Daniels, Cody Daniels, it has to be Sam Mustipher, James Whitehair.
You call that nigga Cody Daniels.
Cody Whitehair, James Daniels. There's no nastiness amongst them. And, you know, they all seem like nice guys, which is great. But you have to be on the field. You have to have a bit of nastiness.
We need them hogs.
Jason Peters knows what he's doing. He's just out of shape. You know, to be doing that at 39 is just shocking.
That's a big man.
But he just needs to get in football shape, and he's clearly not in football shape yet. Outside of that, you know, which is everything with the line. That's the one thing that I learned. They have to get better. And, you know, in the upcoming draft, I think my principal concern was going to be linemen and drafting a crap ton of them. You know what I mean? And then making sure Nagy never sees our, you know, Hallis Hall again, making sure his key card is revoked. But, you know, so yeah, that's, you know, that's what I took away from the preseason game, which will lead into, I think, the next topic you put in our rundown was, what do I take away from camp?
Yeah, it's our first camp covering. You were on the soil, you know what I'm saying? This whole training camp, first of all, how was the experience?
It's all right.
It's all right. Look at this guy. It was all
right. Nah, bro. Everybody knows the experience of a game is great. Of course, yeah. You'll love the experience of the game. It never changes. But camp, it's monotonous. It's the same players every single day. So how has it been like doing this? How do you seek to improve? Everybody gets to them and goes, and because the Bears do not like to let people interview their top stars, I'm interviewing Thomas Graham, which respect to Thomas Graham, but you weren't in the number ones. I don't want to talk to you right now. Khalil Herbert, once again, budding and shit.
Why don't the Bears let the top star? Like, the Bears are so top secret for no fucking reason whatsoever.
It ain't Ryan Pace and it ain't Matt Nagy. It's the players.
Oh, they don't want to be interviewed?
They don't want to be interviewed.
I'm going to keep what I got to say about that to myself. Go ahead.
Mark Potash made a remark while we were sitting in the press room saying, you know, how come they're not coming here? You know, is there a fine for this? But basically, is a Bears PR person, a person who's, I'm not going to say the names of people there, but they're like 5'10", talking to freaking human freaks of athletes. They said, hey, man, you want to get on the mic? They could go like this, in that middle finger, and walk away. And not pay attention to them and say no. You know what I'm saying? So when you ask someone like Thomas Graham, who's new to the team, yeah, he'll say, yeah, sure, I'll talk to him. Khalil Herbert, sure, I'll talk to him. Now, Justin Fields, they may be a little bit more protective, but Justin Fields still has a right to say no. You know, I don't want to talk to you. And so when you ask Akeem Hicks, he's going to give you the middle finger and walk away. Khalil Mack will say, nah. Roquan, nah. They don't want to talk. And
Khalil looked like he'd be like, not today, big dog.
You know what I'm saying? And for other teams, I think there is an internal fine for right. not doing that.
Well, no, there's a fine when the season starts.
That's for press conferences.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
For, remember, a good chunk of these wouldn't be press conferences. They would be just walking up to in the locker room. But locker room access ain't going to come back for a long time because of COVID and just because of
– Players don't like that shit.
Players like the privacy of not having to be bombarded by people standing in front of them.
Which I understand.
You know, it's like when Brad Biggs and Akeem Hicks got into it a couple seasons ago when Akeem Hicks got injured, and then Brad Biggs took a video of him, and Akeem Hicks took a photo of him talking to somebody there and said, you know, this nigga wearing big ass shirts and shit. And was,
remember that shit.
But the photo was of Akeem Hicks directly in Brad Biggs directly in somebody's face while they're sitting at the locker. Players don't like that. I wouldn't like that. It's like,
yeah, I wouldn't like that shit either.
It's like, nigga, get out of my face. So now,
invasion of privacy.
Yeah, now the Bears have a little bit more leeway. So PR asks, they go, nigga, I'm not looking at you. Yeah, there was like one of the people is Aaron Clark, and there was a story done on him by the Bears. You literally saw him after the touchdown. He's only one of the few black people who work for their PR. I think the only person who works for their PR. Aaron could walk over and say, hey, you know, and they respect Aaron, and they'll say, nah, and just walk away. So the fact that I have to deal with the same players, the fact that everybody else has to deal with the same players, it's monotonous. I'm like, I don't want to be here. Then it's hot. It's like 90 degrees. And I have to sit there for 3 hours and watch you do stretches. Justin Fields is not getting in with the ones. Why am I seeing him with the twos? And like, oh, Eddie Dolph not moving the ball. That got monotonous. It was an honor to
do
it.
You say that now, for you got to heat your car up to head to Hallis Hall in fucking November.
No, that would be a little different. It was an honor to do it. And, you know, I'll be back next season doing it again, but it's monotonous. You know what I'm saying?
We're at the time of the year with Chicago, where Chicagoans be like, oh, I'm ready for this type of weather. And in November, you talking about LA me out.
I know. But unlike
them, I need an LA trip.
Unlike them, I'm actually ready for the fall.
Yeah, see, you're one of the weird niggas who actually likes that type of weather. I
actually enjoy cold weather.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be a whole bunch
of... Plus, I have more ways to conceal this in cold weather. You know, that it's got the 9mm hollow
point. He's holding a pistol on the video right now.
No, I'm not. I'm holding a magazine.
But and then, you know, it's going to be like, LA me out. I need an LA trip just so they can come here, smoke weed, and look at the ocean. And talk about LA ain't nothing to do. It happens all the time, like clockwork. Ain't nothing to do because you ain't got no fucking plug. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's now what did I learn from that? Yeah. Matt Nagy's not a good coach.
So is there anything? Because I am fucking enjoying all of Bears Nation. Just finally realizing what I've been saying for 3 fucking years. I feel like Thanos. Y'all called me a madman. So to see everybody finally on my side, was there anything from this camp that, you know, you had one opinion on Nagy when you entered camp and it changed? Because I feel like you were pro Nagy, but you've been shifting the last year.
When he first came in here, that first season just seemed to be an anomaly. It's like they're succeeding. The playbook's a little more modern. It's big. Huh, maybe he's a good coach. Second year, I'm like, okay, there's some problems here. Next year, we're not moving at all. The ball's not going. But then it was more so Mitch and Nick Foles suck. So there's a reason why the ball doesn't move. And now as I go into training camp, as I see the decisions that he made, not giving Justin Fields the time to start, you're not giving him a chance to see what the – it's okay if you start Andy Dalton in the preseason. That's fine. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo was started. You know, him and Trey Lance, but you know what him and Trey Lance were doing? Swapping. Yeah. And you know what Jimmy Garoppolo has and Andy Dalton doesn't? A Super Bowl berth, nigga. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so the fact that they were swapping, even with somebody like Jimmy G who was a part of the reason they went to the Super Bowl, they still understood Trey Lance is the future. So we're going to give him a chance to play with the number ones. The Bears don't do that. You know, Matt Nagy doesn't do that. Matt Nagy gave him the starting offensive line. But wasn't for Justin's sake. It was for them to get some cohesion. There were no starting receivers with him. Darnell Mooney didn't get 1,000 yards last year. He had 650. You don't deserve to be out. Nigga, get back out there. Yeah. Allen Robinson could have said he's not playing for the preseason, but you're going to get fine. So I'm pretty sure it was Nagy giving him the day off. You haven't had any reps with Justin Fields, and Justin Fields is the starter going forward in the future. Why are you not giving him a chance unless you intend to sit him all year? Which I feel like if Andy Dalton plays to a solid level, he will sit him all year. He would want to sit him all year. And I don't understand that logic or that, you know, that thinking. And now he's not 70 years old. He's young. You know, so that old school mindset is just stupid. You know, I'm beginning to think he's Jeff Fisher, bro. You know what I'm saying? And his little Jeff Fisher had that one Super Bowl berth. And Matt Nagy had that one, you know, good season. And the rest of it is just going to be sabotage.
Okay, look, okay, if I can't even give Matt Nagy that, at least there was that period of time in the early 2000s where the Titans were in the playoffs every year with McNair, with Aaron McNair and with Eddie George. So I can't even give him Jeff Fisher. I can't, you know, it cracks me up every time there's a coach opening and Barstool Big Cat, like there's only one man to call.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't even give him that, man. But I will say this, man, about, you know.
I don't understand the line of thinking when football minds across the world, like there was a third and one, and he went out of the shotgun for a direct snap to the one, a direct snap for a simple dive to the freaking A-gap. What? You're in a shotgun. So think about it. Your shotgun, you're 4 to 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You're there with the quarterback. If you're with a running back, not only is it easier to run out of the I formation, you're getting a tight end fullback who's going to help fill up, push the line even forward, or help to meet a threat that's coming in. You don't have that. You just have Damian Williams run up the gut. Damian Williams doesn't run up the gut. That's not what his strength is. Put Khalil Herbert in there if you want to run up the gut. And even he don't run up the gut. So, and then you saw Matt Forte tweet, like, you had 3rd-and-1, you ran out of shotgun. What are you doing? And so I do not understand his
level. I didn't see that tweet because he said has me blocked.
Hilarious. I do not understand that level of thinking from him. And the only excuse you give him is all his preseason. But we've seen him do this time and time again.
So this is my thing.
So the real thing, sorry, I was coughing. The real thing I've learned is that he's just not a good coach. That's just simple. He's not a good coach at all. And I think failure this year is signifying him losing his job, unless it's met with an immediate decision to put Justin Fields in. But with that being said, I feel like him and Ryan Pacer are still in the hot seat. Justin Fields fell in their lap. And I feel like if it continues the way it is, enough pressure will be put on Ted and the McCaskies to make some changes. Because they've been one. Ted Phillips has already been planning his retirement, and they already have someone within the organization they're looking to give that spot to. So I'm hoping this person, which I don't know well, truly has a mind for football and gives them appropriate coaching. Because right now it's just self-sabotage. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing I've learned from training camp is that I'm willing to part ways with several defensive players. You can get rid of Hicks. You can get rid of Eddie Jackson. If you're going to get some valuable picks back forward, I'm still not getting rid of Khalil Mack. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Even though you could get a good haul for him, I'm not giving him up. But there are also a lot of young players on this team, really, really young. And so the team is not old, but the team can share some of that, get some cap space back, get some picks for that, and continue to draft. But I think it starts with getting rid of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Ryan Pace was better than Phil Emery, but nigga, that's a low bar. Phil Emery sucked. It's time to bring in a mind that understands how to guide young players. And then it's time to bring in a coach who understands modern offense. And I think your best candidate is my man out of Manning. There's Manning, of course, for your GM spot. There's Manning, of course, for your GM spot. I don't know if Manning wants to coach, but there's Manning for your GM spot. And then on top of that, McCaskies love Manning. But there's also, who is the OC? Is it the OC in Tennessee?
Yeah.
The boss or some shit like that.
I got his name right here because I was talking to somebody about this shit.
But there's
Brian Dabble.
Dabble, that's it. Yeah. You know, and there's a chance of getting, you know, him as a younger player, a younger coach. And on top of that, then there needs to be a culture change within that locker room. You didn't win anything. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of them think that the fact that they
got held their own supply off a fucking wild card game.
I think they believe that they were due a championship, but it was just messed up by Cody Parkey. No, you were going to lose too. You know what I'm saying? So that's just really the main thing I learned from camp. I want the Bears to get a realization of truth. I won't be shocked if it comes from a terrible season.
I will say this. Of course, we'll get into our game-by-game prediction later in the show. There's a couple things I want to say about this. Number one, I don't think either's job is hot, but I do think that Ryan Pace will roost Bolton Matt Nagy if he has to.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't understand that Game of Thrones reference, Roose Bolton set up Robb Stark at the Red Wedding, working in cahoots with Walder Frey to get part of the lands, become the Warden of the North, some shit like that. So that's why I believe he'll do. If it comes down to, if it gets too hot and the pressure starts to, you know, Ted starts looking at this nigga, he'll Roose Bolton Matt Nagy if he has to. You know, he has the Justin Fields car in his back pocket more so than Nagy does. And as much as I think Matt Nagy is an idiot, I think he has a lot of troll in him also. And I say this because I would not be shocked. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I would not be shocked because we've seen it last year. I would not be shocked if Andy Dalton puts up a historically bad first half. And I'm talking about it's terrible, nigga. They ain't moving the ball. We got like 50 yards of offense. They had to pick this nigga up a couple times. If Justin Fields starts the second half. I think he has a little trade. He said he'd start. He said he's our week one starter. He didn't say he's our starter for the regular season. You gotta listen through the Nagyisms that he says. You know what I'm saying? I'm not finna sit up here and make it look like he's a genius. No, I think he's stupid, but I also think he's a troll. Mm-hmm. I think he's a troll. There's something like even yesterday he said, oh, we're comfortable. Justin has done everything we've asked him. We're comfortable putting him out there if we need to. It's little shit like that I pay attention to. So that's one thing I will say with that. But I do think Justin is so good that he could save Matt Nagy's job if he's that good. And it's just something that we got to just roll with. And one thing that I would take from this training camp, of course, I wasn't, you know, at the facility, but just from, you know, everything you've been, you guys have been covering, you and Herb and everybody and the stuff that I've been in tune with, it, to me, it was just Justin Fields is great. This team is mediocre. That's pretty much the base of what this is, which isn't different from the last 2 years. The only difference between this is we actually have somebody worth watching now. You know what I'm saying? Like the last 2 years, it was just mediocre. And I can only sit up here and imagine what I would be thinking going into the season if we didn't draft Justin Fields. Like, yeah. It would be – like, it would feel like some of the Phil Emery days where we have no type of direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we should be happy and blessed that we got Justin Fields. That was a blessing. Wasn't the two dickheads to run a team. Well, a blind man would have drafted Justin Fields. It's not, that wasn't like some amazing pickup by Ryan Pace. So that's just pretty much what I took from that shit, man. So let's go to our next one, man. Now, of course, roster cuts coming up. Now, from your vantage point.
I had to make one statement. I do believe that this is a season for Matt Nagy to show and prove people wrong. Because remember, the type of offense the Bears run is RPO, outside zone. But they switch in between outside zone and inside zone. But it's basically the spread. And if you know the spread in college, like I was first introduced to the spread by Juice Williams in like 2005. Bear in mind, I played football all the time. I didn't understand offenses like that. I know what the hell was going on. But I remember the spread with the Illini in college, and the spread is mainly in college. And Juice Williams, Rashard Mendenhall will get up to the line. Juice will clap his hands, look back at the coach, then come, and then he has a decision. Either he's going to pass the ball, hand it off to Mendenhall, keep the ball himself. Now, what is that? Run pass option. That is what RPO stands for. That's basically a chunk of what the spread is. All plays will be inside zone runs. Now, I don't know if the Bears switch to running outside zones more. I don't know. But basically, of course, an inside zone is an inside zone running. You know, he will probably hit the A gap or the B gap, and then it's going to be on the lineman to then push and open up the pockets that they have. An outside zone will be the exact opposite. An outside zone run is you're going to look to hit the C gap and move on forward, hit the outside or hit the cuts that are available there. Now, a lot of teams, Titans, like to run outside zone run plays. That's how Derrick Henry gets a lot of his big gains. So Justin Fields is the prototypical quarterback to run that, That's his bread and butter. Now, Mr. Trubisky did run the spread in college, but Mr. Trubisky sucked at it in the NFL. Not in North Carolina, but he sucked at it. Nick Foles does not run any form of the RPO, and that's why he was just horrible at it.
We got to start keeping it buck with Nick Foles. Nick Foles had a good 3 weeks in his football career.
He had a good first season
and a good 3 weeks in the playoffs.
He's a good backup. That's basically what it is. He's serviceable. Yeah. But even with that, a good coach understands that I can't run an RPO-based offense with Nick Foles. Matt Nagy didn't do that. Maybe Matt Nagy just thought, well, there's nothing we can do. It is what it is. I also think the Bears have too many players for their own good. You've heard Jesse James. You've heard Khalil Herbert and a few others say it's a lot to learn. It's a lot of plays. Sometimes you just need to simplify the playbook.
Like Waddle said, you got to simplify the Denny's playbook. Pick a couple meals you like.
You know what I'm saying? You got to bring that down. That makes it easier to understand and to digest. All the plays in the world are not going to help you. So that's just one of the biggest takeaway from that. And so with Justin, he will get, we're talking about, oh, man, Justin has to run. That's a little bit of what the RPO is. You know what I'm saying? The tackles are expected to make sure those ends are kicked outside. The QB then has a chance to step up. He can move to the left. He can move to the right and start to make some plays. There are one read passes where, bam, you're hitting the man. You're calling it a day. And if that's it, bail out. Or you find your check down. And so that's part of what the game is. Now, I don't know what the Cowboys ran. I don't know what the Cowboys offense is. And somebody would have to help me. I'd have to look that up because I don't pay attention to the Cowboys like that. But did I find it? Yeah, I don't know. So it is, I just think that it's better with Justin Fields. He is the prototypical quarterback for the Bears offense under Matt Nagy. So I'm intrigued to see. And he did say, you know, week one starter. And I know there's the issue that, you know, we paid $10 million to him. But okay, man, eat it up. 1 year. You'll just have to eat that 1 year for now and you move on forward.
I really hate when big market teams use money as a reason to do anything. Like, the Bears are going to make that $10 million back so fucking quickly.
On top, you know, but part of me thinks, like, I asked Matt Nagy, what do you think about the scramble of getting to those, you know, that final 52? And he's like, well, you know, Ryan and his guys handled that pretty well. And I said, that shouldn't be that. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have – Ryan would be – the only thing Ryan would be is fiscally responsible for that cut. He'd have nothing else to do with that cut. You know, now Herb then asked him, you know, what about if a coach vouches for one player? Will you keep that player? He's like, yeah, we take it into consideration. I was like, yeah, Ryan should not be as much involved when it comes to cutting players. That should be the coach's responsibility. That's just me.
I mean, yeah, it should be. Yeah, it definitely should be a coach's responsibility. Now, maybe Matt Nagy was saying, like, you know, he has some type of voice in it. I don't know, but it's just, you know, I just – this whole – everything, when you look into the inner workings of this organization, just kind of makes you, like, shake your fucking head. It's like – okay, man, I fucking guess, man. Like, that's really it. But speaking of that, what players do you what fringe players do you think are going to make the roster? I mean, Rodney Adams made a good case. Javon Williams getting cut really helped his case.
There ain't no good case. The nigga's making the team.
You think 100% making
it? It's 100% foregone conclusion. Iggy, Joel Iggy, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. So Iggy made a nice little last second push to be a part of the roster. Travis Gibson, I think, has made also a good push to make himself a part of the roster. He's looking
really, really good.
So I'm interested to see what he has to do. That's really it of the French players that I think.
What about what's the tight end getting touchdown yesterday?
Oh, yeah, Jesper Horsted is going to get that fourth tight end spot.
Okay.
Because Jesse James is going to make it. Of course, Cole and Jimmy are your starters, so they're going to make it. But Jesper Horsted is going to make – Jesper has basically just been practice squad with the Bears for years, so I think he'll fully make the roster this year because J.P. Holtz and I forget who else are not making that team. So, yeah, that is – those are my – the outsiders who I think can make it in.
Okay.
Or outsiders at the beginning of the camp.
I feel you. I'll take your word on because I don't fucking know. I'm not there, and I really don't pay attention to the niggas who just fighting for the roster. I'm just going to keep it all the way real. So let's move on to our next one. Biggest concerns heading into the season. I will give mine started. My two biggest concerns, offensive line is number one. I don't really know what to expect. Like, I feel like part of me feels like it's just a bad line. The other part of me feels like this line hasn't had enough time to be together for us to really see what they can be. But I will say the run blocking scares me a lot more than the pass blocking. Like, how many – since Dave Montgomery has gotten here, that nigga is literally fighting for every fucking yard he's ever gotten. You know what I'm saying? I just want him to have easy holes to run through. You know what I'm saying? That's all I want for that. That's a big concern. And this secondary might be the worst we've seen in a long ass time. First of all, you get rid of the guys who was the best one in you, even though he didn't have a great season last year. Kyle Fuller, you get rid of Kyle Fuller. You're expecting a lot from Jalen Johnson, who missed most of the year last year with injury too. I think there's a lot of things Bears fans forget. Like, yeah, he showed flashes of him being good, but he missed a lot of damn time last season. And so this is only the second season. You're expecting a lot from him. Can Eddie Jackson bounce back after a bad year? Who the fuck is the other tight end? I mean, the other cornerback. I don't even know.
Kendall Vildor, Desmond Trufant.
Like, I haven't even seen a picture of Desmond Trufant since the fucking training camp started. Have you even seen him at camp?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what the fuck he looks like. So I don't know what the fuck to expect from that. And it's just like a lot of things that, you know, we're going to be expecting a lot from the D-line. The D-line has to get to the quarterback. All of them. Enough is enough, bro. I feel like we ain't got to the quarterback since 2018. Everybody got to step up. That's the only way, because that short passing game is going to fuck that secondary up. Like, without a fucking doubt, that's going to fuck them up. And if you're not getting any type of pressure from your line, good luck. Good fucking luck. Those are the two reasons why I have the record this team having that I will give you in a minute. It's just those are two big parts of your team that you need to be tight for you to be a playoff team. And I don't have much faith. I have more faith in the offensive line than I do the secondary. I really don't expect anything from the secondary.
I don't know. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be a stud corner. He does not. I don't think he'll have to travel like, you know, walking or do a Patrick Peterson and, you know, guard the number one. Kendall Vildor, we'll see. Desmond Trufant, we'll see. Tashawn Gibson is fine. He's a good safety. Eddie Jackson, we just have to see. You know, his skill is ball hawking. He's not a good tackler.
No.
He's going to have to work on that tackling. But, you know.
But Eddie Jackson's like this. If you're not going to tackle, you got to make plays.
But on top of that, it's hard to develop tackling in the NFL because you don't tackle in practice.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. If you don't do that.
Nobody tackles in practice because you don't want to get hurt. And because you don't want to get hurt, how do you know what it's like to actually get – when Derrick Henry's there, you can't freaking cut somebody in practice for good reason. But that's why the tackling has to be developed when you're young. You have to learn how to tackle when you're in college and when you're in high school. That way in the NFL, you develop good habits because you're not going to do it in practice. Where in high school, nigga, you're tackling everybody. Niggas will go straight down. When I was in practice, things might have changed now as you're an adult, but because you're a kid now in the 2020s, but
yeah. So I feel like if he's gonna do that, you gotta make plays. Like the reason he was so good in 2018, I mean, this first three seasons, 2018, 2017, 2018, 2019, he's making plays. So I need to see the Bo Jack that people are scared to throw that way because he knows he's gonna make plays. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it.
Moving on. We're going to move on now into our, well, it's probably good for us to just do our game-by-game schedule and then insert when Justin's going to start.
No, I think we do just because then it's going to, that influences the game-by-game schedule.
Of course it does. That's the point. We want the game to influence of when we're saying, okay, if this game happens and Justin Fields will probably start by this. So, yeah, you know, okay. you want the game to influence you. Okay. So
I got the schedule in front of me too. So you want to start first? You go and I'll go.
Yeah, you go ahead. You want me to go? Oh, okay. First game is the Miami Dolphins. First game is the Los Angeles Rams. Miami Dolphins is the preseason. First game is the Los Angeles Rams. The Bears are losing.
Yeah, the Bears are getting smacked.
That's
a 1-1 for me.
0-1. Next game is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bears win out.
It's interesting because the Bears are the only team in the league with no straight home. There are no two straight home games and there are no two straight road games.
Yeah,
that's going to suck.
Suck, yeah. You know. From a travel aspect, yeah. But I got the Bears winning that.
No. I got a Joe Burrow burrowing in the Bears' ass.
So you got Joey B.
I've got them losing that game. Next one is in Cleveland versus
washed.
This is the Browns. They're going to get washed.
So you got them starting 0-3.
They're going to start 0-3.
I got 1-2. Okay, now here. Justin Fields starts.
Yeah.
Week four against the Lions.
Yeah, Justin Fields starts week four. He probably comes in at the end of that Bengals game when they're already down to put up a couple points.
You better not put that nigga in no damn garbage time.
No. I'm talking about the team is down 21-7. It's a quarter left. I can see it. And the Bears offense has not moved. Why would you not do that? You have a whole quarter ahead of you.
Okay, so if you're going to do that, he better start week three.
What? I'm talking about when you're facing the Browns.
Oh, I thought you were talking about – you said the Bengals.
I meant the Browns.
Okay, yeah, you said the Bengals. That's what I meant the
Browns. It's the fourth quarter. Bears offense hasn't moved. You probably got 7 points from a kickoff or from a defensive adjustment. And so it's 21-7 going into the start of the fourth quarter. I can see Matt Nagy replacing Andy Dalton with Justin Fields.
Okay, I see that.
Justin Fields gets the game to like 21-17 or 21-20. And the game ends like that, but then Justin Fields is named the permanent starter going forward.
Okay, so we both have us beating the Lions.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, come on.
So, after the first month, I got the Bears 2-2. You got them 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3.
Okay.
Actually, so, the first month will be 0-3 because Detroit is.
You know October. What I mean? The first four. What Lovey said? We separate the quarters. First quarter.
So next game is in Las Vegas. They're getting smacked.
I got the Bears winning.
If Justin's starting,
well, sure. we're moving the rest of the season as if Justin's starting.
Okay, yeah, that's a win.
So yeah, I got us winning.
Sunday night football. Sunday game against the Green Bay Packers. The Bears are gonna win that one.
Okay. We losing, but I feel you.
In Tampa Bay, Bears losing.
Yeah, we get thrashed.
Versus San Francisco, that's gonna be a showdown.
I think we'll win.
Presumed be Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Justin Fields gets the best of Trey Lance. Yeah. In Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football.
Hold Bears on, nigga. You doing speed, nigga. Relax. Against the Steelers, I got us winning.
That's what I just said.
Okay, but you didn't even give me a check in a second to say. You going, all right, this thing.
You just went on to the Steelers. I'm just going on to the Steelers. As I was saying, nigga, Monday Night Football versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh, they're going to lose. Right now, I think they've won two games on my schedule so far. Am I correct? No, three. I have Detroit, Green Bay, and San Fran. So they're 3-6 so far.
I got them. Hold on.
Yeah, two games. Two and seven.
Hold on. 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, 3-4, 4-3. Yeah, I got them 4-3. Hold on, nigga.
There's nine games so far.
Yeah. And on the wins I have against them, I have wins against the Bengals. 4-5. Yeah, 4-5. You're right. 4-5. That's right. 4-5.
I've got 3-6. Okay. Next is a bye week versus Baltimore in Chicago. That's a W.
Yeah, I got us a W. That's 5-5 for me.
That's 5-6 for me. Next one is in Detroit.
On Thanksgiving. That's a W.
So I have them 6-6.
Against the Cardinals at the crib, lost.
That's a W. That's 7-6 for me. That's 6-7 for you.
Yeah.
No, that's 6-6 for you.
Six and six for me.
The next one is in Green Bay. That's an ass whooping. Sending that football. That's Aaron Rodgers reaming them.
That's gonna look Aaron Rodgers again.
That's 7-7.
That's 6-7 for me.
The next game is Minnesota. At Monday Night Football. I can win.
We winning that.
That's 8-7 for me.
That's 7-7 for me.
The next game is versus Seattle.
We losing.
That is a loss.
Yeah, we losing. That's 7-8 for me.
7-8 for you. 8-8 for me. I feel like I'm off. I should be 8-7. I don't know. But they've won 8 games so far. The next one is versus New York. That's a double.
That's a win.
That would be 9-6 for me. 9-7. Yeah, 9-7 for me.
That's 8-8 for me.
The next one is at Minnesota.
I got us winning that.
I got us winning it. I got us losing. It'd be 9-8.
I got us 9-8. And not only will be 9-8, we're not gonna make the playoffs.
No, we're gonna lose the playoffs.
Because I think all four NFC West teams make the playoffs.
I think
the Niners will win the division and the Rams, Cardinals, and Seahawks will all be wild cards.
Yeah. And I think that Justin Fields, I'm going to predict his season.
Rookie year. Let's predict his numbers.
Let's predict everybody's numbers. He's a skill player. I don't care about defense. I'm not going to even pick because they're whatever.
Well, we got to do a sack total on Khalil Mack.
Okay. So Justin Fields throws for, he comes in presumably in the fourth game. It's an added game. But he plays a little bit of the third game. It's an added game this year. He throws for 3,000 yards, barely scraps 300 yards, gets himself about 28 touchdowns total.
Okay.
Total 28 touchdowns between running and passing. I probably give him about 22 passing touchdowns.
That's fair.
He's going to have 4 picks. He just doesn't throw a lot of picks. It's just not his move.
Yeah.
And he's not going to make most of the decisions that get you that many picks. Running, well, if he has 22 passing touchdowns, he'll have 6 rushing touchdowns. What do you got? And he'll have like a 65-69% completion rating.
I'm going to say about 3,000 yards passing. Like you said, about 64-65% pass completion. I'm going to say he throws for 24 touchdowns.
That's what I like to hear. I wanted you to say 30. I want to say, let's go. Let's get delusional.
I say 24 passing touchdowns. I say he gets 5 rushing touchdowns. That's 20. And I say 5 picks.
That's fair.
Nice season.
Darnell Mooney. This will be the season I find out how good he is.
Yes, exactly.
If he's the player who I think he is, he's getting 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Him and A-Rob are getting shared 1,000 yards, which that hasn't happened since what, B Marshall and
Alshon.
Alshon. So they get a share of 1,000 yards. He gets 1,000 yards on that season, maybe 1,070. He gets about 4 or 5 touchdowns. I think that most of his best ability is not going to be in the end zone because he's not big enough. So for Allen Robinson, I will give him 1,000 yards as well, and I will give him about 12 touchdowns. I think his money is going to come in the fact that Justin and Andy briefly will look for him in the end zone more than he probably got looked for before. Somebody like Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, I think, will account for 1,000 yards themselves. I think with Cole Kmet responding for the majority of those. In an RPO, I'm pretty sure the tight end has a much bigger role because that's what you call it runs. The 49ers run. You saw what Kittle does with those amount. Kittle has had like 1,000 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Am I correct?
I don't know. Is Kittle better than Travis Kelce?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
No, not yet. Yeah. He's faster than Travis Kelce. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at Travis Kelce's career. He's had 1,000 yards for 6 straight seasons.
And Gronk is still the greatest tight end of all time.
Well, come on. 48 touchdowns for his career. How many touchdowns does Rob Gronkowski have?
Gronk got a ridiculous amount of touchdowns. Man.
He has 86 touchdowns. How many does Tony Gonzalez have?
He got more than Tony Gonzalez.
He has more than Tony Gonzalez? He has the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Gonzalez has – this is the wrong Tony Gonzalez. Who is this? I've never seen this person. They sent me to a baseball player. What? I didn't know it was a baseball player. No. He has 110.
Oh, damn. Straight up?
Yeah. Man, Gronk played about 4 more seasons. If he can survive, he can get that. He's 32. He's 32. If he can put on what he did in Super Bowl, which was just out of nowhere, it's like
Gronk can give a shit for 4 more seasons.
He can break that record.
Yeah, it's not. It's if he gives a shit. As long as Tom Brady's playing, he's gonna play. The minute Tom Brady retires, that nigga's retiring again.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think Rob Gronkowski has the most postseason touchdowns.
It's definitely not Tony Gonzalez postseason touchdown.
No. he has I believe Jimmy G and Cole Kmet get a combined to 1,000 yards. They're not going to go straight to Cole Kmet immediately because Jimmy G can still ball.
Jimmy G and Jimmy, he's a fucking touchdown magnet, man.
You know what I'm saying?
And when we get in the end zone, there's nobody I want more than him.
There's nobody else on the team I want more than him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He literally, how old is Jimmy G? How old is he? Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham was one of the signings that I should have done when it happened, but 24. I'm actually glad we did sign him. He's been pretty good for us.
He takes care of himself too. Take care of his health. In hella shape. I'd love to get a beer with him.
Jimmy, is he a cool dude?
He's very, very cool. Very, very cool. And he talks, he's honest, he's candid. He's mad, you know. Of course, a part of me when I was, you know, wasn't covering was like, oh, you used to play for the Packers, but man, that's stupid shit. He literally just a good person. Jimmy, I know you've heard this podcast before. Bro, come on the pod with us. Come talk to us, bro. Be candid. We ain't gonna ask you no crazy questions like you're talking to another reporter. We're gonna be fair to you. Yeah. But
fair and honest journalism.
David Montgomery.
I didn't even so you doing your whole offense 5 years.
My fault. You got Darnell and you got A-Rob and you got the tight ends.
A-Rob's gonna get another 1,200 in his sleep. That's just what A-Rob does. I'm not going on a 12 touchdown. That's Devontae D Hop. That's Devontae Newt status right there. I ain't going 12. I give him nine.
It's 3 more.
It's not. I give him 9. Okay. Fuck it. I give him 10.
First of all, Devontae Adams had 18 last time. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, 14 is a floor for Devontae, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Wow,
DeAndre Hopkins only had 6 last year.
Who?
DeAndre Hopkins only had, look, he only had 6 last year.
I had a joke, but I'm not going to say.
Relax. There's going to be something involving the end, Nate, so just chill. And the fact that he was then traded to the freaking Cardinals, and maybe the inmate gave him more, but whatever. It's going to be terrible.
It has something to do with Kyler, but never mind. Anyway,
leave it alone.
I'll give him 1,210. I give him 10. A lot of that's going to come. Justin Fields is going to be that nigga best friend. I truly believe that. Darnell Mooney, I'm with you. We're going to see. There's two niggas who I'm looking at this year. Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet. Because I'm still not a Cole Kmet guy like everybody else. There's a lot of people like Cole Kmet. I ain't like the nigga when we draft him. But I gotta see what I'm gonna get from both of those. I'm gonna say I don't think Mooney gets 1,000 though. Like he, if he gets 1,000, then for sure he's a bona fide number two. I do think he'll have maybe 8, 9. He'll be in 1,000 block. I don't know if he gets there though. And I say he'll get like,
yeah, I think I'm gonna go with 8.
I'm gonna say he gets like 7 touchdowns.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't even know what to predict for Cole Kmet.
I don't know either. Mixed bag.
I'm not gonna predict. I'm just gonna, you know.
I just want to say a combined 1,000 yards.
Yeah, give me a combined for my tight ends.
Because I mean, how many did Jimmy Graham have last year? I want to say 400 yards or some shit like that. Jimmy Graham had almost 500 yards last year. Yeah.
How many touchdowns?
8 touchdowns. Okay. He was thrown by trash. And Cole Kmet gave him almost 300 yards. So you're sitting almost 800 yards total. I can see a 200-yard increase.
I just give me 1,000 yards combined and 10 touchdowns combined from both of my tight ends. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
No.
And for David Montgomery, for Demo, I'm going to say he gets 1,200 yards.
I say he's going to scrape 1,000 again because Matt Nagy's too predictable with the run.
You said he's going to scrape?
He's going to barely get 1,000 like he got last year.
Matt Nagy, how much did he get last year?
1,073 or some shit like that.
Okay, well, I'm going to take away that 1,200. I think he's going to get like 15, not 15, but like 1,050, you know, like 1,050. Yeah. Like, and touchdowns, like you said, Matt Nagy, I don't listen to shit that nigga says when it comes to the run. I say I give him 8, 9 touchdowns. He ain't gonna get the rock as much to get the touchdown. No. This nigga gonna be throwing a 3-yard line.
Yeah. Sack totals. I have 15 for Khalil Mack. I truly do.
Bounce back, yeah.
Because it's more so the fact that Eddie Goldman's back. Eddie Goldman's back. The defense is gonna be a little more aggressive under the side. And I think that Robert Quinn may not have the best, but I think even when Robert Quinn goes out, the backups for them present a good chance to still get some solid pressure. And so while he might have the focus of the defense, I think the fact that then on top of that, Danny T goes out for, you know, for a breather, Alec Ogletree is in there to give some good reps. And I think that
he hasn't had 15 sacks since his second year in the league.
Yeah, I think he's just been like 12, 11 or some shit like that.
In his first year, he had 4, second year, 15, third year, 11, fourth year, 10. His first year with the Bears, he had 12 and a half. 2019, 8 and a half. Last year, he had 9.
Yeah. And his tackles went up, had an interception, his assists went up. So I think that is progressing back to where it was. So I would give him 15. I think he's going to have a really, really good year. And I think Jalen Johnson is going to hold it out. Eddie Jackson will finally bounce back to what he was. He won't have to be called. He won't be asked to do it more than he's supposed to. And I think the defense goes back to top 10. And I think they will be part of the reason the Bears win 9 games. But they'll miss. So it'll be another one of those seasons like, eh. But it'll be something to look forward to.
I still think
it will be enough to get Matt Nagy fired.
So, okay, I'm glad you said it. So, my nigga, I'm glad you said that. I'm going
to
say
it's going to take 11 wins for him to keep his job. I think Ryan Pace is willing to toss him into the fire to keep himself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Roose Bolton. I will say that I'm not going to go 15. He hasn't had that in a while. I'm going to say 12. I think he gets back to the dude we saw his first year here. I'm going to say 12. I think Eddie Jackson gets at least 3 picks. And I think the pass rush is going to be good. I'm not ready to say that the defense is going to be top 10. I think they'll be fringe top 10. I think they'll be 12, but I do think this pass rush has a very, very good chance not to get to 2018 status, but at least very, very fucking good to where you're going to think twice before throwing that fucking football. Like, you're not going to really have that much time. A lot of that's going to have to do with health too. As far as Matt Nagy goes, the reason I got the Bears only winning 9 games because Matt Nagy's going to waste the first 3 games of the season with fucking Andy Dalton. That's exactly why. Because I feel like they could win. The first 3 games are winnable if you have Justin Fields in them.
Yeah.
The first 2. Third, I'm not. Cleveland's really, really fucking good. So I'll say the first 2 are very, very fucking winnable. If you've got fucking Justin Fields in there, not that dickhead Andy Dalton. I won't call him a dickhead. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's just in the wrong place. But I will say, so you got Matt Nagy getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Nagy gets fired if this happens. If Justin Fields' progress is slowed up by Matt Nagy, if the offense statistically steals middle of the road, he's out of there.
I think so.
That's what I'll say. So this has been our 7 Night the Havoc season preview. Next week will be our first bye week of the year. We will not be recording.
There's nothing to record for about.
Nothing to record next week.
I'll barely be at practice, dude, because I got doctoral shit to do.
Yeah.
And there's no game. So,
First week one, on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, we got 7 Night the Havoc segments. My brother will be giving us an update of what's been going on at Havoc Hall. Be a nice little 10-minute segment. So look out for that every week on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. And yeah, man, we'll holler at y'all in 2 weeks, man. And the games are for real now. So we out.